Welcome to Massonomics, the world's strongest podcast. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Massonomics. Make sure you go visit Massonomics.com. There you'll find the rest of our powerful content. While you're there, check out our store and buy yourself some of that sweet Massonomics.
Tommy's Mike. Tommy's Mike.
And Tanner?
Tanner's Mike. Bring the heat.
That's a cool catchphrase, Tanner.
What was yours again?
Locked and loaded.
Locked and loaded.
Tanner says
bring the heat.
I don't even have a good one. Grass is bad. All right, guys. We're back this week. Another episode of the Massonomics podcast. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Tyler. Next to me is Tommy.
What's up?
And across the way is Tanner.
Bring the heat.
We're trying out new catchphrases today.
You know, something you can put on a shirt, you know, really take the world by storm.
It was like when we tried inventing our own nicknames a couple weeks back,
and
it was like,
we're all the beast.
It was like on just that movie Hot Rod.
Yeah.
He's like, my name's Rod, and I like to party. And then they go to the next guy, and he's like, my name's whatever, and I also like to party. And they're like, no, nobody parties with me.
I'm the only one who parties.
Welcome back, Tommy.
Oh yeah,
I missed a week. I forgot about that.
Yeah, Tommy and his late travel arrangements.
We mostly talked about you and secret things about you.
I can hardly wait.
You're actually going to have to listen to that episode now.
Oh, I will. When I heard you guys were going to do it without me, I was kind of excited because I'm like, oh, I get to hear one and not know exactly what's going on.
Do you guys listen to the episodes still?
I listen to every single one. Sometimes I'll wait maybe like a week or two and then just to really distance myself from them a little more. And then I find it more entertaining. But
I watch/listen to it as I get the video ready every single week. So
that's right.
Then before that, I used to listen to every single one. And now sometimes I still just listen to part of it or I watch it on YouTube, like through my phone, just because I want to see the camera cutting and see how it's going.
Yeah. See all your
cinematography.
If no one else is going to watch it, I'm at least going to watch it.
I got all these finance degrees. At least I'm putting it to good use with my video editing.
Yeah.
So this week we'll just jump right into.
Quick question, guys. Yeah. Too. Someone had left a comment wanting to know which one of us sounds like Butthead. I think.
Yeah. Did you guys see the comment?
I did see that.
Did you see my response?
Yes, I did. That's what I honestly felt.
I really thought, like, very objectively, like, it could be me, it could be anyone, and I still don't know who sounds like Butthead. So,
what was that on? What post?
I think
was
it was
on
Instagram. I think.
I think it's the group with us. With we got to talk about that too. Who we had visited this week, but it was Scrotus of Nevermore.
I don't know who it is.
Not a friend of yours.
I don't know who he is.
Okay. For all we know, it's a bot that just leaves that comment on everyone's video.
Who of you guys is the one that sounds like Butthead of Beavis and Butthead? And I said, I'm not sure which one of us that would be, but they say if you look around the poker table and you can't spot the sucker, it's you. Because I was like, gosh, I don't know, dude. Does one of those guys sound like Butthead? And then I was like,
do I sound like Butthead?
Maybe I sound like
Butthead. Well, and that's what I thought too. Yeah. And I was talking to Kevin. Kevin, I think, saw the comment and he's like, yeah, I don't know who really. And I'm like, well, even someone that isn't one of us didn't know either. So maybe it's our Midwestern dialect.
I had to refresh my memory on which one was Beavis and which one was Butthead.
Yeah.
And I was like, none of us sound like Beavis. Maybe all of us sound like Butthead.
We probably all sound like Butthead is what I think.
Yeah.
We have a big, we actually kind of have a lot to get through this week from, like, just say this week in Massonomics.
Where in the world
strap
Massonomics?
Your thinking caps on.
Yeah. We're going to go around the globe.
Basically, I want to start first with, this is actually the most recent one, but Bud Jeffries, friend of the podcast, Bud and Unconventional Life Jeffries. If you don't know who Bud is, you haven't been listening to the podcast for very long.
And before, if you still don't know who he is, just stop right now, check out his Instagram. Because you need to get familiar with his life situation.
So, Bud is rocking his Weekend Warrior Massonomics Lift shirt. And I'm going to spell this out for you. Bud is doing a 1,000-pound barefoot yoke in grass while the yoke is on fire, while dragging a tire behind him. I don't even into split with. Oh, and then he does the splits at the end with his face on the ground because fun in America, rocking his Massonomics shirt. And I'm gonna play this video. If you're listening, you should definitely just go to Instagram. You need to be following Bud Jeffries, and you need to watch this video. If you're watching on YouTube, I'm gonna play this video right now. We'll give a little play by play for those that don't have the luxury of the video. So Bud's lifting 1,000 pounds, and that shit is on fire.
Yep.
And I think he said he went about, what do you go, about 20 foot total?
Yeah.
He goes about halfway, sets it down and disconnects the tire, and then kind of cuts back in,
and the lawn is on fire.
Every fucking thing in this thing is on fire. Like, everything is, there's probably, I don't know, a 10 foot, like yeah. two different 10 foot circles of fucking grass that is like fire. Really on fire.
And too. then he whips off his belt, thinking you would normally think he's done, and he just drops right down into the splits.
Into the full splits.
And we're talking about probably close to a 300 pound
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I'd say Bud's probably 30. Like 310, 320. Yeah.
But 1,000 pound yoke is
pretty
nothing
gangster.
To mess with. Yeah. You know, and that's like.
What did this comment say? The first time trying this in 12 years?
Yeah.
Which. Okay, yeah, that okay. And I did misunderstand that the first time I read it. He said the first time I've done 1,000 pounds on a yoke in 12 years. I thought when I read it first, it's the first time I've done this in 12 years. Oh, like how frequently do you train with yokes on fire? And
yeah,
like is that a common lift that you're concerned about PRing? But Bud is a badass. But,
yeah, the shirt and, really pulls the whole thing
and the
together,
shirt just
too.
Really makes the whole thing yeah. pop. One of my favorite parts was the comment that said, "This is like a Michael Bay film." And I totally agree. Bud, you did good.
Because if you pause it right there, there is just fire and rusty metal and muscle and smoke everywhere.
And splits.
Splits. It's like it's like some shit out of Bad Boys 2. Like, the camera's whiling around all slow.
Bud's down in Florida, so we made it to Florida.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we got that southeast part of the country covered.
Yep.
What else did we have? We had, I should be out in front of this because of my busted-ass basement Wi-Fi.
Previous before that would have been Brandon Allen. We spotted him in the first time he's worn a shirt, and it just happens to be...
We
a
thought,
Masonic shirt.
Yeah, here we
so,
thought.
So
we
now
were
going to jump on our tour of America yeah. all the way over to Las Vegas.
To Las Vegas.
And again, all these people you should be following on Instagram. But Brandon Allen, it was funny because we sent Brandon this shirt like a couple of months ago for sure, right?
Yeah.
And then what we didn't realize after we sent him the shirt was like, oh, wait a minute.
He never wears shirts.
I've never seen yeah. Brandon Allen
wear
a shirt.
We just sent
shirt.
A shirt to a guy that's known for not wearing
ever
shirts.
Wearing a shirt. But so we sent him one, and he made sure he got the sleeves off it right away. But it sure looks pretty sharp. Here's Brandon Allen doing some safety squat bar work in the old Weekend Warrior. Brandon is down.
Chick.
How much weight is he down? Like 60 or 70 yeah. pounds now.
I hadn't been paying following him super close, and so when I first saw this video, I was pretty surprised how lean he looked. Yeah. I remember him being a little bigger than
he's
that.
He's about 300 pounds now.
Yeah, I mean, which is he's still a big guy.
Right.
Yeah. But he was, what is he, like 360, 370? He kind of had a post a while back that he was a kind of a ticking time bomb at that point. He
right.
was pretty heavy, couldn't hardly tie
couldn't
his
breathe,
shoes.
And, he, fun fact about Brandon Allen, he's a sponsored athlete.
Oh, yeah.
He has. Do you know about his sponsorships at all?
Oh, yeah. You guys have mentioned this before.
He's probably the only powerlifter that I know that's sponsored by weed, right?
I think he's the only one I'm aware of.
I don't think there's a whole lot of athletes in general that have that sponsorship.
No,
so.
No, but what are his sponsors? Do we have any on here? We should plug them for him.
well,
he
runs Filthy Power Gym or whatever, and he invented the vert pull. So if you know what the vert pull is at all, that's his baby.
And Brandon's a good follow on Instagram, so he is
friend of the podcast.
Friend of the podcast, Brandon Allen. That's Brandon_Allen88 on Instagram. I think he actually even got had two videos with the shirt on, which was funny because he went from like
that where he's using the vert pull to do his filthy mornings, he calls them.
Right here, yeah. Where he went like 300 consecutive posts without shirts on, like I would do.
I'm glad we kind of were the reason to get him back in a shirt.
Yeah. We popped his shirt.
Yeah, yeah, if you're going to wear a shirt, I can't think of a better one to just throw on.
And what else did we have? We had...
we better hop in our...
Hop in the old Massonomics wagon.
Yeah, and take a trip to Omaha.
Ooh. That's right.
The heart of the Midwest.
Middle
here.
America.
Yeah. Don't just call it a flyover state.
And actually, they had some activity down there at Omaha Barbell this week. I saw. Yeah. If I would have known that, I think we should have fucking done something about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I knew that it was coming up. But
way to go, Tanner.
Yeah. You didn't.
Because you know what I did this weekend? Nothing.
But Stan Efferding and Ed Cohen were both there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Busted ass basement internet is doing its thing.
But the one we were talking about is Rob Philippus, Quads Like Rob. Another good follower, another good friend of the Massonomics podcast. And he posted like 7 videos.
With his shirt? Yeah.
It was like a full-on infomercial almost.
Yeah. And he was also safety, using the safety squat bar and doing some deadlifting. He pulled a pretty big deadlift in it. I think it might have been like 730 for a double or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he was hanging out with the Rhino and Ed Cohen this weekend. I imagine they were talking about Massonomics.
Spreading
most of
the good word.
I would say that's probably most of what that whole seminar was.
Stan Efferding, friend of the podcast.
Definitely.
I mean, he did talk to us.
Both of us. All of us.
That's right. He certainly did talk to us.
And just by default, that makes Ed a friend.
Did you ever say on the podcast what you said to Stan?
I don't know. I should tell that if I didn't.
Tell that story.
This wasn't on camera, unfortunately, but I just went up and I just wanted to meet him. He was standing at the cooler booth. I think it was after
At the Arnold.
Yeah, at the Arnold. And you had already interviewed him.
It seemed like, well, at least when we were around, maybe because it was early, but it seemed like there was not a lot of people that knew who he was. Because I think there's a lot of just bros at the Arnold. So, like, I don't know. It was kind of odd.
Yeah,
he was sort of not there. And a lot of people were, like, surprised by his product. Like, oh, that's really neat because he sold a lot of them. But I'm like, haven't you heard of this?
Yeah. We talk of,
like, look at this fucking guy. How do you not know who he is?
Look at his arms. But I walked up to him and I said... Like you're going to shake hands and maybe get a picture. And I just looked at him like square in the face and said, hey, aren't you guys the guy from Shark Tank? And he looked at me with like a very confused look. Like he didn't respond with anything. Like he literally just gave me like a puzzled look. And I said, I'm just kidding. I know who you are, Stan. And then he got a good laugh out of that. Like that's how someone would know him.
Yeah, you were on Shark Tank yesterday. Yeah. I know who you are.
It's probably about the 50th thing down on his resume.
So I talked to him about his Shark Tank experience then, and I said, yeah, I watched you with that. I was just disappointed, you know, how short your bit was of the whole show. You know, it was like the first one, and it was probably 5 minutes. And he was talking about how crazy that experience is, how much they cut out, and like how little you know what's going on.
And that it drags out for months and months. Like, you don't even know. Like, you can go there and film and not have it show up on the show.
That's
and
what he said.
Go
you
there
don't
and
know
film twice.
Yeah,
and yeah, that's crazy.
Even when you do it, and even when all that happened, you don't know if you're going to be on the show. Mm-hmm. But he said it's crazy how it can all boil down to just a couple minutes of TV time. You know? But so that's our friend Stan Efferding.
Stan Efferding was here at Omaha Barbell, and which is where Big Rob here was doing some things in his Weekend Warrior shirt. Maybe you should get yourselves one if you want to have quads like Rob. But what is this here? 535 by 2, taking it easy. It's warm-up stuff.
I bet that last... Oops. That one's 6...
625 by 2.
He's always got
untied
shoes on.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
He's always kind of rocking the kicks.
Yeah, he is kind of the kicks man.
Rob is, what's he weighing now? Did you see? I thought he had a post earlier.
Like 320-ish or something like that.
He like cut down to 308 for that.
Yeah.
For the U.S. Open and then.
There's 715 by, he couldn't quite.
By one and a ripped hand or something.
Ouch.
Owie.
So we made it to Omaha.
Yeah, we made it to Omaha.
And we also had a Chicago visitor at the.
At
the gym this week, too.
Yes.
Mr. Jacked and Homeless, the world's strongest homeless man.
Yeah, so give us a little background into that, how that all came to be, Tanner.
Scuba Steve, he works out at Barbell Central with his coaches, Ernie Sr., you know, and he lifts with the other Lillibridges and Huck Finn, and he's an over-the-road trucker. So I don't know if he's by homeless he just lives in his truck or what the homeless probably, exactly is. Yeah. But he was coming from Wyoming, and he was just on his Instagram story and said, does anyone know anywhere in South Dakota where I could go get a lift in? I need to bench tonight. And Huck Finn, friend of the podcast, said, well, check out the guys at Massonomics. So he got a hold of Brandon and Ross.
Yeah.
And, they got awesome. And Ross ended up coming and letting him in, and he came and did a heavy bench workout and then took off. Yeah. And he drove probably 150 miles out of his way.
Yeah.
Just to come to the gym.
Yeah.
So that's dedication right there.
That's the appeal of Massonomics,
yep.
I think.
Yeah. Yep. So we owe Huck Finn for that a good reference out there.
Steve is fucking huge,
yep.
By the way. You know, I've been trying to gain weight for a couple of months now and finally think I'm putting on some weight. And then this guy walks in and you're like, oh, that's a totally different kind of big.
Yeah.
Like, fuck.
Yeah. He's got a very big upper body. His bio is 2 DUIs in one night. Knocked out last boss. Rolled city truck in mayor's yard.
Yeah, I saw that on there and just thought, there's probably some very good stories with all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we'd have had more time, we could have probably drugged some equipment down there and probably had a pretty funny podcast. But
for sure.
He didn't drive 2 hours out of his way to have a podcast. Oh, I think he wanted to lift.
He was a really good guy, though. Good to have him in there lifting.
Ryan got in a bench with him.
Yep.
Sergeant Ryan.
Yep, Sergeant Ryan benched with him. That's all he did. He benched and took a shower and...
Oh,
on the road.
About that funny story. So Steve came in, got to introduce himself and got him set up in the bathroom so he could go change and stuff. And I didn't give much thought to it. He comes out, he's sitting down tying his shoes, and I got to run in and take a leak. Apparently, truck drivers who lift take the gnarliest shits, dude. I think that was a record setter for the gym at Massonomics.
And there's been some nasty.
There has been some crazy poop that has fouled up that bathroom. Yeah. But man, I walked in there and it was like on the walls. It would like you could like I bet if you smelled the mirror itself had that shit smell,
that stank on it.
Yeah.
So props, Steve. Well done.
You done good.
Steve also is a pioneer guy.
Yeah.
So we did get to snap a couple shots of his belt Matt made for him. Custom belt, jacked and homeless. This is when you have nothing, anything is possible. But so we got a picture of that on the old platform and threw that around on the internet. So it's kind of sweet. We got it's kind of interesting how that works. You can just kind of get people from all over the place.
Talking
when you're as world famous as we are.
That's right.
Let's look at this little trip we just
took
here today.
I think that sums it up best with Massonomics. When you have nothing, anything is possible.
That works for us.
It was like destiny that they came together.
I was talking with Steve about, he kind of brought it up that him and Huck and a couple of the guys really want to come out here and maybe do some sort of seminar, in exchange for them, you know, getting like a hunting experience or something, you know, hanging out.
We could probably line them up with some pheasant hunting.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
So look for that in
that
the future.
That'd be super.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could fill that for sure. I'm trying to think, did we have anything else come up this week? We did drop our
10 strength podcast.
So that's out there. You should find that. Chad Wesley Smith did comment and say that since we're in the middle, that means we're the best.
They got the center. It's a collage photo of all the podcasts that we included, and Chad was happy to see that they got the center shot.
Honestly, it's the vests that got them in.
Yeah. They are nice looking vests.
I'm trying to think of who was it that saved the shared? Oh, was it Starting Strongman had saved the strong or shared the strong tech one. Some guy chimed in and said, well, Kale, when you do your list, you make sure you're cocky enough to put your own podcast on there too. And he was like, oh, I would. And I'd do it fucking number one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, wouldn't you?
Wouldn't it be really stupid of us not to put our own podcast on that list?
I mean, this is very subjective terms by what you think is good and bad. So
that's the first sentence of us being on there. Like, if you thought we were dumb enough not to include ourselves, you're wrong. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, it is. We did fucking make it.
Yeah. That's like one of the few things we get out of it.
See here. I'm just rolling through. It's kind of been a busy week, you guys.
Yeah, we got some stuff and some shit.
The stuff and the shit. Just keeps rolling.
All the stuff, all the shit. What else did we have out of the gym? I don't know that anything super cool happened at the gym this week. Nobody shit them.
I saw something pop up that I kind of like, the 5x5 boys.
Oh, that's yeah. kind of like that. My name. New hashtag thingy is like 5x5. I'm on a different program right now, and I'm doing it with Ross from the gym, and we're saying that to each other jokingly in text, like as we're talking about what's coming up on the program. Like, it's basically mostly all 5x5s of mm-hmm. some sort or the other for every lift, and like saying like 5x5 crew or 5x5 boys, or jokingly saying that if someone's not doing a 5x5, like, are they even working? You know, like just saying that everything else is meaningless if it's not a 5x5. So yeah, that's going to be an ongoing thing
for
a while.
It's a new lifestyle.
Yeah. That's 5x5. It's a lifestyle.
Our new lifestyle brand.
By fives and fives. It's a lifestyle.
Fives and fives. Yeah. Let's see. Did we want to jump into Tanner's sack right away?
Yeah, I've got a smelly old rotten sack here today.
As usual.
Dump it on us.
All right, let's see what we got in the sack.
We don't need to do the eyes closing thing today because some of these items in the sack are used. So like, it would be a pretty nasty trick to like...
But put your mouth on it.
Yeah, like open your mouth. Well, first of all, I guess I'll bust these guys out. This is worth... mentioning what we got going on here.
These
have been worn once, so
these are the Spud Ink
discretion.
Yeah.
Two
ply.
Those are the Spud Ink 2-ply knee sleeves. That's right. Well, we're working on a review for these right now. That might be out by the time that this comes out. If it's not, it probably won't be too long after that.
Mm-hmm.
They make 2-ply knee sleeves, single-ply knee sleeves, and single-ply elbow sleeves. We have some of each, and we're kind
of testing
those out.
Excuse me, how rude of me. Phone calls.
So I'm testing out the 2-ply knee sleeves. Tommy's got a pair of the 1-ply knee sleeves, and you've got a pair of the elbow sleeves. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, well, I guess we'll have more input on those later. But I guess the what's different about these...
Is the pulling
this
straps.
Right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if you're looking for something that is maybe different than...
Mm-hmm. Have you been flipping them down when you pull them up?
No, that doesn't bother me, I guess.
It doesn't bother you anymore?
No, that never really did.
That was more of a me thing. And then my last time... So what we're talking about here is with these pulls, there is some sewing that happens on the inside seam there. And anytime you have seams against skin, it can have the potential for discomfort. And I know the first time in the gym I threw them on, I was like, oh, maybe this will be uncomfortable. And then...
I don't know that it hurts.
No, it doesn't hurt. You just notice rubbing, it. And then once I had actually... The first time I used them, I did a deadlift session, and then I was moving to some safety squat bar.
Yep.
And I threw them on, and I think it's because I was kind of in the zone already and warmed up. It wasn't even like a thing. The seams
didn't... So you
didn't
notice
really,
it?
No, it didn't even like really cross my mind at that point. But... yeah, you know, the two biggest differences for me using these compared to your standard kind of like neoprene sleeve is that, one, it has the sleeves, so they're very easy to pull on. I think I do wear a medium in SBD, and I have a large in these Spud Ink ones,
mm-hmm.
and I would say that those two sizes are very comparable to each other, but these are so much easier to get on. Like, after I'm like warmed up and sweaty, like putting on SBDs is... Like
work.
It's not a thing that I'm even going to really mess with because it's going to be a big hassle. Whereas these, you just grab those handles and you pull it right up and it takes a second. It's super easy. And then the other thing is the material is a little different on these too. I don't even know what you would describe this as, kind of a mix of like a heavy cotton canvas type texture.
Yeah.
With some sort of
stretch elastic-y to, yeah, in it. There's some stretch properties to this thing. I don't even know. I feel like I've seen some of the other guys, I think, have sleeves at the gym.
Yeah, this is not an uncommon material. Yeah, if it's not neoprene, I think this is usually what it is.
Yeah, whenever you don't have sleeves that aren't neoprene, they tend to be this material. But so I hadn't used this before, and I think it's pretty comfortable, and it keeps my knees just as warm as the neoprene. So my first impressions were I did like these. They were nice. Yeah.
I like that they stay warm, but they're not as much of a sweat factory as the neoprene. Like, I get – I mean, like, because I could wear these – if I pull, like, neoprene over my elbows for my elbow sleeves, like, it gets fucking greasy. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I didn't have that problem because they do kind of breathe a little bit.
Have you worn yours for
– Yeah, for I've worn them probably – 3 or 4 times in the last week or two.
So what did you?
I really like them.
Yeah,
PR'd my bench in them and everything.
So guaranteed to provide a PR. Yeah.
So that you can use these when you're putting them on your arms. Also, you just put loop one on a rack or something, and it works really well too.
Yeah, actually couldn't imagine pulling on a sleeve that's that tight
without that.
I don't know how you do it.
Mm-hmm. We can't say much about the long term durability. Obviously, we've only had them for a little while and been tested them, so we can't really say much about that. But
and Tanner, these ones are now. This is even a little different than your standard sleeve, being that these are 2-ply.
Yeah, these are 2-ply. So I wear SBD knee sleeves, and I wore both this week. I wore this for one of my heavier days, and my SBDs for one of my heavier days. And I can't. I don't know. I can't say it's not a wrap. You know, like,
yeah.
Like, here's what I said. Here's how I described it to someone else. Like, if you, on a scale from 1 to 10, if a wrap is a 10, my SBD knee sleeves are a 1, and these might just be a 1 also. But if they were anymore, they would be a 2.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
Like, so it's very close to the same as all the sleeves. So
you
didn't feel
like you were getting, like, extra bounce out of the bottom, or it was helping you with heavier weights?
No. I was hoping that would be, like, but when I got heavy, it was just like, oh, still really hard and not like wraps at all.
Yeah.
So like I said, like, to me, my opinion after just one time was that it's, like, exactly the same as my
it's just a little more SPDs. Heavy duty than maybe the single ply version.
Right.
These double ply.
Right. But not like a, you know. Yeah. It's not going to have the effect of wrapping your knees tight.
Yeah.
Which,
no, it's not supposed to.
Like, that's probably not a huge value to you really either.
No. And also, like, my SBDs are over 3 years old. So they're just a little worn out. So these are just nice because
they're crisp.
Fit tight.
Yeah.
You know, again. But yeah, I like those. Oh, I guess just for comparison's sake, I won't get these too close to you guys, but here
are my Keep SBDs. That away.
This is my dinner table.
It's like
table,
a biohazard.
Tanner. I eat lunch down here. What are you doing?
But there are the
So height-wise, SBDs. Are these things about the same length?
I don't know. Let's,
I've never
let's
checked
stack
that.
Them up here, I guess. And I just like now having a rotation, because I'm squatting 3 days a week right now, so I don't want to put the same sweaty knee sleeves on.
Yeah,
they'll just be permanently wet.
Looks like the SBD is an inch longer.
Yeah, just about.
Yep.
So I don't know.
I mean, that's some groundbreaking.
Yeah,
discovery
journalism we just did right there.
There's those.
Yep, looks about
just
right.
Just in one inch longer. None of us know what that means. If that's better or worse, but that is definitely
looks like
a
about
fact.
An inch longer. And then the last thing I brought here is these puppies. I don't know if we can see.
Why don't you explain these puppies to us?
These puppies are a set of knee wraps. These ones happen to be the Slingshot World Record wraps, formerly the Lillibridge World Record wraps. So at our gym, we don't have a lot of guys that wear these or compete with them. We've got a few guys, me one of them, that have competed in wraps a couple times. Larry has a couple times. But you do not often see anyone at the gym ever training with these because it's more of a pain in the ass.
It's just one more thing to do.
Yeah, I think that's honestly why you don't see people doing it, because it's just more of a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, short of I suppose training with them solely to get used to them for a competition that you just happen to be wearing them in.
Right.
Other than that, there'd be no reason for, at least us around here.
No, there's some guys, like I know Steve Gentile out there. He says that he competes in these because he had some knee issue, and like this is the only way he can
stay up and
squat. Yeah. And, you know, I suppose there's some people out there that are like that. So I've had, you know, I've squatted in these in a couple of competitions, and like I was saying before, the sleeves are a 1, and I would call these a 10. And you know, in comparison of what you get out of them,
yeah.
The sleeves, what you get out of them is
a warming,
secure feeling knee.
Yeah,
I would call it,
and a very wet knee.
Yeah. Right, but yeah. Like, so if you did a 1 rep, Tommy, if you did a 1 rep max squat in bare knee versus sleeves, like, do you think it's actually going to make you do more or just feel better while you're doing
it? I don't think it would make a difference for me at all.
Yeah.
I mean, if it made a difference of 5 pounds, I would say that's it.
Yeah.
And I think that's being generous.
For me, I don't think there would be, and even the sleeves I do wear, my knee sleeves just aren't like super tight or, you know what I mean? Like right. They're just for warmth.
Yeah.
And I don't believe.
It feels better.
I don't believe for a second that I would get more out of it short of just maybe a pound or two for like, comfort or familiarity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, but I don't think that there's anything in my knee sleeves, but I think the wraps are a different story.
And, yeah, the wraps definitely are a different story.
And we're about to find that out.
Yeah, so neither of you have ever been wrapped.
Have you ever?
My whole thing is I've never been in a competition where I need knee wraps.
Right.
So
I think I should do both. And you also need to do both knees because you have to experience
the sensation of letting
your one other knee already wrapped just sitting there like, come on.
Okay.
You know, yeah. Like, all right. Yeah. Like the time. So who wants to go first?
I think Tommy will go first.
I'll take it.
Okay.
He's got the angle over there, and I will I'll run camera number 2 here.
So I'm going to be off the mic, and I'm going to take my sweatshirt off.
I'll give some play-by-play.
Wrapping someone's knees is like
a workout.
A little bit of a work, and I should have these tighter wrapped and stuff, but we'll just make do.
All right.
And then once you get done, you'll just have to stand up and do a body weight squat.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. Is it gonna just magically make me jump through the ceiling?
And
it's gonna make you feel like if I do a good job getting them tight enough, it's gonna feel like
you will not be able to
a body weight squat.
You won't be able to get depth unless Tanner and I both climb on your back. So let's see, how can we film this here? Tommy, see if you can set this up.
Just pointed right towards my groin.
Mostly, yeah. This is gonna be. It's a wide angle, so this is going to be like 80% genitals on the camera here.
So, do a
get a good shot of Tommy's.
Point your toes up. Yeah, like
really?
That. All right. Yeah. So he's got legs straight.
Like keeping my calf toes muscle up. Tight.
Yep.
That's already uncomfortable. And you haven't even touched me yet.
That's when it gets really uncomfortable.
So on a tightness scale that you could go to, how tight are you going to go here?
I've never hardly wrapped someone else's knees, but I'm just going to try to go pretty tight so we can talk about how shitty it feels.
And here, I can hold the mic here.
Yeah, hold that for Tanner.
Tanner, because didn't you say that you've been left with bruises from these things before?
Oh, yeah, in the back of my knees, big time. It will stay, after a meet, it'll stay purple for like a good week.
But wasn't it Ernie Lilybridge, wasn't it Senior that's himself said that it's not about the tightness?
That's right.
I got to say, this is already very uncomfortable.
Yeah, what's your initial
thoughts? Like, my freaking tendon above my kneecap feels like it's about to pop off.
I don't think you're doing this right.
Yeah, like, a part of me feels like it's pulling the patella, like, in a direction it shouldn't go.
And what about like...
Should I be, like, trying to, like, flex my quad during
this?
Yeah,
kind of.
Well, you fucked up.
No, now I got this loose jelly quad squeeze.
What about the length of the wrap, Tanner? Are all these the same length?
I think I can't remember if these ones are 2.5 or 3.
I got to be honest with you. I already feel like my left ankle is falling asleep. Like, and we're not even done with the first leg here.
And this is, I think, when things start to get serious. Because now you're like, all right, get this other one on. And then get them both the fuck off of me. Right? Also, how hard is it to tear them off once you're done? Because I assume...
You leave like a little pull there.
Man.
And what I didn't do that they would do at a meet is once you get that last strip pulled through, then they crank that. Like, really? That adds like this where it goes from like a 7 to a 10.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay.
But I won't do that because it's just tiring.
Oh, man. That is...
So, you want to go out in the garage and just PR real quick, though?
I feel like my leg is going to be sleeping by the time you're done with this one.
So
keep it pretty straight and point that. Yeah, there you go. Yep, there's it.
So we're on to leg number two. The GoPro is zoomed in on Tommy's _D. And that's a Tommy Instagram handle joke there, guys, if you haven't been listening. So did you answer the question on the length of the wraps, Tanner?
I don't know if these are 2.5 or 3 meters, but that's the common lengths, are 2.5 and 3.
Ugh, metric system.
Yeah, I don't.
So what's that, like 50 feet?
I saw a funny thing the other day that was like listed all of the countries that use the metric system, and then they list countries that don't, and they're like, well, you know, countries that don't are the only ones that have dropped nuclear bombs on civilized people, invented the automobile.
Okay, you get...
All right, let's see it, Tom. Okay.
What do you think right now, just with the mom?
Incredibly tight. Like, I'm having a hard time, like, getting my legs under me to stand up off this chair.
You have to
and
normally
my feet
get...
look crazy vascular right now, too.
Do you have to normally get pulled up out of the chair, or can you stand up and squat?
I can stand up on my own here. Okay, I'm going to go for it.
All right, let's see what you got.
Got to ditch the headphones.
Yeah, it's like you don't want to go down all the way. Oh, man. Yeah, I think I got to call that good right there.
So you can pull them.
Just the idea of walking up to a squat rack is like...
really unpleasant.
Yeah.
It makes the walkout a lot different. And
yeah, that is...
Is that why it's like a huge problem sometimes if there's like a step up or stairs?
Yeah, well, a lot of times people, once you have them, once you're wrapped up, you know, someone pulls you out of your chair because it's...
Yeah.
Oh.
So how does it feel to have them off there?
Really good.
I couldn't believe, like, how much work it is to get to parallel with those things. Like, my headphones are on. So,
you've got like bruises kind of already.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can definitely see where the wraps were, but
so I didn't have them
to change his life.
No,
there.
But that would be like reasonable to train in, you know, like at that tightness. You know, I just my technique is I don't know exactly what I'm doing. There's different ways to do it with crossing over the knees and such, but I mostly did a top to bottom.
Yeah, you know. So now because I've never touched anything equipment-wise, the idea of that and like a squat suit on at the same time just seems like uncomprehendable. Like, I can't get my head wrapped around it. And I really think, like, my feet already from that little bit felt like they were falling asleep. And that would be like with the idea that you were just getting done and I was running out there right away. Like,
right.
So I don't know if like in a big meet, do people usually have a person on each leg, or they'd probably keep the same person on just for consistency, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I guess every time I've seen it, it's just one guy. You know, some people wrap their own, but...
Uh-huh.
Have you ever done that? You ever wrapped your own? Even
in the
gym.
Yeah, and that is tight, like, to wrap your own. Like, it takes a little work to wrap.
And then to recover yourself while your legs are going cold.
Because you're like fingers and forearms get a good workout while wrapping.
That's almost like a whole different sport to me now, because before I go for a lift, the only thing I'm focused on is the lift. And now the idea of having to be worried about that, how good you're doing with it, and then on top of that, the timing with it, that's a whole other level of complexity to it.
And after having them on, you even without actually squatting with a bar on your back, you can probably tell, like, it will throw people off a little bit of what their raw, you know, their movement pattern of the regular raw. Like, it takes you some... getting used to. Like, a lot of people will squat differently.
Yeah, that didn't feel like my squat.
It didn't look like it either. Right. You actually immediately, I don't know if we'll be able to see on the video, but you actually immediately looked like an equipped lifter. Your feet were really wide and your knees were really wide. And
it didn't feel like that's what I do.
So I'll get Tyler.
Let's switch spots.
Yeah,
Tommy.
Yeah.
Chinese fire drill.
That's right.
Unless that's racist.
Probably is.
So, Tyler, now that I'm in your chair, do I get to just play with all these dials and everything?
Spin them around. Wing
it. Yeah, just go for it. You'll figure it out. It's not that hard.
All right,
so it is...
Straighten them out and then point your toe up.
Okay, I'm going to sort out some electronics. All right, so legs, legs totally straight with tension.
Yeah, I found like the second one when I kept it my quad a little tighter, it didn't feel as uncomfortable.
Should I have shaved my legs?
Would it have been a waxing would have been preferable.
Do you want to shave my legs right now while you're down there?
Well, as long as you're down there.
That's really tight.
Yeah,
he's really doing it.
Yeah.
I maybe from a comfort standpoint might prefer that my wife do this just so it doesn't hurt my knee so much. Man, it is weird when it gets right over the kneecap.
Yeah,
it feels like it's like pulling like at the patella. Actually,
I never consider like what my kneecap's position is in when I'm about to squat, but I probably would here. Holy Christ!
The old loop, swoop, and pull.
Bunny ears. Holy shit! That was
that last
loop. Oh my god!
And that in a meet, sometimes guys will do it with really long nose pliers and grab onto that.
And yes, like, that's where all the
man. I am super uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Holy shit! Oh man, this sucks.
Like this more than anything has really got me thinking that like equipped lifting is like a different sport.
I think so. Like
this is just like the basic. You know, this is raw with wraps. Is what it's you know. As far as equipped goes, this is
just scratching the surface.
Some people just consider this raw. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh wee.
The one that's already done really starts to feel.
Uh-huh. I actually feel not just like discomfort and like out of position with the one that's already done, but I can feel my resentment for Tanner like emanating out of that fucking knee right
you
now.
You are the worst.
Like, ugh.
Do you feel like almost like that left foot, that first one that got wrapped, is already like losing circulation?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like my knee, like my, I don't know what it is, like my. Whatever this is right here is like almost feels cramped or something.
All right. Tyler is suited up.
All right. I'm sweaty.
I need a hand. Oh, yeah. That would be fucking
bad. Tyler, you need more than a hand. Okay, here we go.
Oh, God.
All right, now walk up to the platform, Tyler. We do have a little inconsistency in the wrap area.
Yeah, I'm no pro at the,
but like so
just walk on around and then get to your platform. Okay. Oh, hold up, Tyler. They loaded the weights wrong. You're just going to have to hang on for a second. So just chill.
Did you try and give it a squat?
Yep. Ready? All right, here he goes.
Oh my god.
Careful, you got a light right behind you. Yeah. Yep, he's almost a parallel. Not quite. Yeah, it starts to fight you on the bottom, doesn't it?
Yeah, and the bottom is where like you're like, oh, it's uncomfortable, and then as you get, you're like, I just want, you know what I mean? When it hurts, you're like, I just need to squat. I need to get it done.
Yeah, it's like I want to squat. Just let me get down there.
But like by the time you get down there. It only hurts worse.
Yeah, it's like something's telling you, don't do this, don't do this.
Oh. It feels good when you take it off, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's it's that bow tie effect where the blood just comes back. Oh. Do you want to switch again, Tyler?
Yeah, let's switch again.
Get you back in the command station.
Back. That was special.
So now you guys can say that you've had those on before.
I actually have, just for the sake of like experiencing it, I've thought about just trying to see, like, you know, just go for like a PR squat at the gym sometime, just in wraps, just to do it.
Yep.
But it would like only be for its own sake, because I don't, for me at least, it's not like a significant enough portion of my training. So like I think we've talked about before, like I wouldn't have any problem if somebody who trains to squat in reps, like if that was their PR that they counted. But for me, it just wouldn't be. But I'd probably do it just to say I hit that number, but I definitely wouldn't put it on the board for me, because that's just not the way I squat.
And like the first time you put them on, for a lot of people, they might, you might not like be do comfortable good. Enough to do well. Like that happens to people. I know.
I think that would take me. I mean, I know that would take me some training because to get used to.
I can't imagine coping with that, and then that like nervous system feeling of a max effort weight on your back, take a walk out. That's the other thing, walking out,
because now you're walking out more weight.
That's it. Well, and it's a weird feeling just walking around in here. My knees were not in, they were not wrapped into a locked straight position,
right?
And they're kind of just a touch bend, and like, so you know, if now I understand where someone like where like Dan was talking about how like, you know, walking out with 1,000 pounds is
sketchy,
is super sketchy. And probably I think even more so with wraps, because you're not stable like you are moving around in the world.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, you could have knocked me over by just pushing me.
You know? Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And then the other thing too with this, so these were, these are the, what do you say, the slingshot world record holder wraps. And this material is kind of different. I don't even really know what to compare it to.
Yeah, this material is tough. You know, some are more stretchy than this.
Yeah, this really is almost like a canvas with a limited amount of stretch to it. But I didn't realize until we were talking to Matt, or I think, it was Matt at Pioneer saying, you know, like there's a lot of levels of wrap, stiffness, stretch, material, like all of that that factor into preference, skill level, all that stuff. So
yeah, I think stiffness slash stretch and then casting are like the main how you categorize them. Like casting, I don't know enough about it, but just like the way it feels when it's on, like if it feels, I interpret it as like if it feels more like a cast.
Uh-huh. Yeah, gotcha.
You'll hear like Ernie Senior talk about like casting and tightness of, you know.
Yeah.
So there's some different things that they measure on them.
And then at the same time, too, I think I've heard, maybe Tom Callis talking about, like, when he gets wraps, he likes to wrap them around, like, a telephone pole and leave them on just to get them kind of loosened up a little bit. Because brand new are so stiff that they're too not quite stiff. Broken in. Yeah. So I think it was a podcast. He was talking about that one day, too, of getting them to, like, the perfect level.
And then I know, too, kind of like how Jonah talks with his bench shirt, I think people will only wear these for so long until they get a new pair.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So when are we going to wrap our knees and race 100 40-yard dash in knee wraps?
That would be funny.
That actually would be really
sprint with wraps.
Yeah. Maybe dangerous. I don't like.
I don't know.
Like, how fast could you, like, if you wanted, if you needed to, if you had those on and you needed to sprint, could like you do a sprint?
Well, it'd be a weird sprint for sure.
Yeah.
It'd be like kind of a, like Nazi Germany march a little bit, you know?
Yeah, the old high step.
Yeah, with a little bit of I got a poop going on at the same time. That'd be interesting. Maybe when we get to 1,000 five-star reviews, we'll do that, but not a moment sooner.
That should be in no time.
Yeah, probably.
At the rate we're going.
Yeah. Did we get any of those this week, Tanner?
Yep, we've got one.
Oh, woo. Shit.
We're on a good streak of, like, at least having one, though. Yeah, so if you're listening, don't
yeah, this screw is that this up, is like, your time. If, you, if you're listening and you haven't done it yet.
It only takes one to keep the dream alive.
Yeah.
That's right. Last week when you were gone, Tommy, though, we had two.
Oh, really?
And we believed so much in our audience that we read them both. We didn't sandbag and reserve one for this week.
If, we knew if nobody that this one up. Was going to come from May 19th from Brad_66. Title, I Listen With My Ears.
I don't think he's lying about that.
I think that's a throwback to the closeout thing. Do you remember? At the end of the podcast, the audio out is like,
You
just listen to the Massonomics podcast.
Yeah. Oh, with your ears.
With your ears.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's right.
So that means he is a...
he listens.
He's a listener. Not a YouTube guy.
No. This is a great podcast. Not all that informative.
Oh, shit. But I really thought we were disseminating a lot of really good information.
But hey, they try. All kidding aside, they have great chemistry and are passionate about what they do. I look forward to each episode. Their passion has inspired me to move to Northeast South Dakota.
Shit, man, you fucked up.
Man. Yeah, if we can convince people to do that.
If I could convince any of our listeners of one thing, it is to not do that.
I'm
like, if you tried doing meth, do that instead.
Yeah. Give that a shot first. Not positive, but this might have been from Brad Neitzel.
Gotcha.
He's a strongman competitor from Minnesota. I feel like that's why he might have thrown out the Northeast South Dakota.
That would make sense.
So shout out to Brad.
Yeah, thanks for hooking us up, Brad.
He's a pretty strong guy himself.
Yeah.
I think he just competed in a strongman competition this weekend, and he missed a 775 deadlift.
Really?
Like, as it would have been a fucking super gangster deadlift to hit, too. It was up, if this is the same Brad.
Yeah.
But Brad Neitzel, it was up above the knee, coming up the hip, and it's strongman, so you get to start hitching, but that motherfucker just started rocking, and I think it just spit him out, didn't it? Just kind of spit him out. He just lost it. But fucking close at 775.
Yeah, that's a little bit of weight.
That's a pretty strong guy.
Yeah.
Shit. It is.
No shit.
So thanks, Brad, if that was you. And if this was some other Brad, I'm sorry for...
Yeah, just... I guess props to both Brads.
Yeah. Good job, Brads.
Maybe it was Brad Pitt. Maybe he was born in 1966.
That could be it. You know, Fight Club, he got pretty ripped, so he's probably into training and stuff.
That's true. Just happened? You ever have somebody roll into your Instagram that likes
all of it?
28 of your posts?
Yeah.
That's weird, right?
A little stalkery.
It might be weird.
Bud Jeffries just liked my comment, though.
Ooh.
Oh, snap. Big Bud. I didn't know if I told you, I broke through my deadlift fucking thing finally this week.
A big PR?
Big PR this week. Yeah, I don't know. You know how a lot of times in your program, it's probably like not time to fucking max out, but you just kind of...
Tyler,
it's
always time to max out.
My thing is, I don't know if I feel like I've got it and I'm not competing or anything. It's just like, well, I think I should take a stab at it. And so this day in the cube program was like called for a pile of heavy singles-ish. And I was like, well, I'll just ramp them up. I'm feeling stronger anyways. So I'll just kind of, instead of doing this at this and, you know, getting up higher, I'll do all these bigger jumps and just kind of see where I get. Not miss, but just see where I get. And we talked about my double pause reverse deadlift at 475 at the strongman competition. And so this time I built my way up to like 485 and everything moved really fast. And then I was like going to put 495 on, but like, it's kind of one of those things. It's just like when you think that bench pressing 400 pounds is cool, but it's gotta be 405 because that's four plates.
Yeah. Right.
And then like, but it works the other way with 495 because it's like, well, that's five plates, but like that's not 500 pounds. Right. So it needs to be more than 500 pounds.
Yeah.
So I jumped to 505 and it just, snapped it right up.
Is there a reason you didn't do the double pause?
Right. I should have just made it harder.
The double pause up, down, up, down, up.
Just once mid shin.
Yeah.
And then once again, just above the knee. But I move fast. I think the thing has been since about then, because I think after that I expressed my
love for the deadlift,
hate for the deadlift, like with a lot of
double pauses,
with a lot of finality. I think Tana remembers the conversation. I was like, I was gonna give it about until this summer. I was like, I'm gonna fucking like give it an effort. I'm gonna put in a little more volume on it. I'm gonna do the deal, but if this doesn't fucking click for me between now and then, I'm starting over and going to sumo.
Yeah.
Like that was just going to be the next thing to try.
Uh-huh.
And we went with kind of the wider stance and a bit of the rollback, like some of the taller strongman lifters do. And that's been, I think that's been the ticket. And now even that little bit where they kind of like, that I told you was really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
When you're really wide and they almost sit back on it.
Yeah.
With enough practice now, that kind of actually is really nice and almost pulls it off the floor for you.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty sweet. So I enjoy deadlifting now, which is great. Yeah. Having gained 20 pounds of body weight makes it a little bit easier too, but I'm going to take it where I can get it.
But deadlift is probably out of the lifts, like body weight helps the least. Yeah. I think no doubt it helps in bench. Like it helps the most in bench press. Yeah. Like the easiest way to get a stronger bench is to weigh more.
Yeah.
It's like you want to put 10 pounds on your bench, just gain 10 pounds. Yeah. You're probably going
to
get it.
I've got about 2 more weeks of gaining weight and then I'm going to start trying to
lose it rapidly.
yeah, lose it right away. I'm going to start chipping away at a little bit so I have something left to look at come summertime. But I put on like 20 pounds in 8 weeks, mm-hmm. Of just fucking eating an insulting amount of food.
Yep.
So the bench went up. So my plan is I'm just going to get fat as shit and then PR all my lifts and then lean out. Down. And then I can spend the rest of my life talking about how I did that back in the day. But that was good for me. That was a big deal because that's been such a motherfucker for me for a long time. It's
not a better feeling than like when your worst lift, when you can enjoy doing that.
Exactly. You know, it was the same way when I started doing CrossFit with like the snatch. Like I could clean okay, and I could do lots of CrossFit things okay, but I could clean okay. But with the snatch, I was so fucking bad at it that I hated it, and I just put in a lot of time. And now it's probably my best of those two Olympic lifts, but. It's tough at Massonomics because other than Larry, most of you guys are pretty proficient deadlifters and actually enjoy it kind of.
It took me a long time to get there too. Like when I look at like Ethan, who just recently, what he hit?
475.
475.
Just missed a 495.
And that's like a guy that started lifting a year and a half ago, weighing like 160 pounds. It's like, God, it took me so long to get to 475. Like so long,
you dick.
It just took me forever, it felt like. And really, I've had more deadlift progress in the last year than I have in like the 3 years before that combined.
Right.
But I think I know exactly what you're feeling, Tyler. Like, it's just like, why isn't this get better? And it's like, for a while, I was getting to the point where like my squat was going to pass up my deadlift. Uh-huh. It's like, why is this happening to me? This isn't the way it's supposed to work.
I've got like 2 more weeks before I'm going to attempt a PR squat here in 2 weeks. And then, and that's got to be put up or shut up time because my bench is about to catch my squat. And I don't want to be that guy.
No. As long as it's just 5 pounds more.
Yeah, it's just got to be more. But, it is interesting because if we look around like the gym, the guys that we train with, there's a lot of good deadlifters, a lot of strong deadlifters. But the difference is that I was probably the only one running around pouting about it. Like, you know what I mean? Like there wasn't even another person who's like, yeah, deadlifting blows for me too. So I was like the only person who's like, why is this fucking impossible? this is impossible. Why am I so bad at it? I thought it was funny when we were at your guys' powerlifting meet, Tommy, in Sioux Falls. Your folks were there, and they were talking about what Ryan was going to shoot for. He was going to try to finish around 600, 605. I don't remember if it was your mom or dad.
It was my mom,
She was, like, sizing me up, and she's like, well, how much do you deadlift? And I was like,
here we go.
I kind of got 475, but like it wouldn't have counted here because of the whole double pause thing. And then she looked at me like, well, what the fuck is wrong with you?
She's very judgmental. So absolutely.
What I did say is it's not what's wrong with me. It's that your boys are really, 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 really strong. And I just am not. I'm just big.
A 606-pound deadlift isn't...
Not to be scoffed at. Right, no. Right. Really, not at any level.
That's true.
Yeah. But, that was my week. That was a good week. And Tanner just had to watch Scuba Steve bench while he didn't.
No, I didn't. I benched the day before. It wasn't even a lift day. I just had to come to... cheer him on.
Yeah.
Just so we had someone coming down. Yeah.
But I think that's... Do we have anything else we've got to cover today?
I think we've covered the world of Massonomics.
Yeah. I think I brought the heat today.
Locked and loaded.
What's mine? Just say no.
And I guess I did want to shout out to our sponsor, CC's and Nike Freeze. Get huge, but keep comfortable feet. It's a lifestyle. That was one of our sponsors.
Also, Trent and Jerry's. Ice cream for huge guys who don't pass drug tests. Trent and Jerry's. It's a lifestyle. Well, I think that'll do it for us today. I still haven't prepared your guys' little sheets for you guys to read off of.
Oh, what the hell. I was going to take Twitter today.
Oh, great. Tanner's, we're not on Twitter.
Don't follow us on Twitter.
So thanks for listening, though. Make sure you go to massonomics.com. There you're going to find all our articles and such. Supporting the podcast, the best way you can do it is to buy some stuff at the store. Or just mail us money. You can mail us money by emailing us getbig@massonomics.com. Mm-hmm. But on the website, there you'll find all our old archive podcasts, articles, all the good stuff. In the store, hats, shirts. When are we going to roll out the lift hats? Pretty soon?
I was just thinking that we might as well do it.
Yeah, we're just teasing, well do it, teasing the world with...
We'll do it with this one. We'll tell them.
Yeah.
We're doing it.
Just going to do it.
Man, there's probably going to be some new lift design hats of the Weekend Warrior in a hat form. Or two, so check that out. Those are going to move like hotcakes, so you're going to need to get in.
It could move like a cold bruchacho on a warm summer day.
We're going to bring the heat.
Locked and loaded.
We're going to just say no.
Also, can I get custom embroidery on mine?
No.
Also, let's see, what else do we have? YouTube.com/Massonomics. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. Do yourself a favor. You can also sign up, turn on notifications for that too. So when we drop an episode, if you're a YouTube watcher, it'll pop up right in your shit and you can dive in right away. What else? Oh, yeah, all the Arnold interviews are still up there. Check them out. I've been looking at our numbers. Literally millions of people are watching them every day.
To the point, YouTube might take them down because they get played so much.
If you haven't seen them, you're really missing out.
Yep.
I covered all those things. Facebook, make sure you like us on Facebook. That's where we kind of keep you guys in the loops on all the new stuff that's happening. And iTunes. Yep, iTunes 5-star reviews. Tell us a little story.
We don't want the well to dry up on those reviews. So
no. Actually, another interesting thing to do would be, if you're going to leave a 5-star review, I would like, if you haven't left one yet, which by my math is like 99.999% of you, if you haven't left one yet, just when you leave your review, I actually would like to know how the hell you found out about the podcast.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't. Like, if you're not our moms.
Yeah.
Like, definitely, if you're not our moms, tell us how you found out the podcast, because we'd like to know how that worked.
Yeah, if all the newspaper advertising we've been doing across the country is finally
all local radio.
All the billboards. Yeah, all the local radio AM ads. Radio shows we've been doing. But yeah, that'll do it for us, though. I'm Tyler. You can find me on Instagram at Tyler F. and Stone. That's Tyler EFFIN Stone. Tommy?
You can find me on Instagram at Tomahawk_D. Locked and loaded.
The official Massonomics Instagram page at Massonomics, and I'll still be there bringing the heat.
I think I'm gonna change mine to just say maybe. my slogan's gonna be in flux.
Yeah, it really depends on the question.
What's the question? All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
You just heard the Massonomics podcast with your ears. You're welcome. Check us out on Facebook, find us on Instagram at Massonomics, and make sure you visit Massonomics.com and buy some of that sweet Massonomics gear. From your friends at Massonomics Studio, home of the world's strongest podcast, stay strong.